Their cry has reached me. That's what God said. So it is God Himself who initiates a deliverance over a circumstance, over a situation that He saw. And it is in a context where the children of Israel who came to Egypt, they came 70 in number. But now, in a few hundred years, they have increased in number. And there arose a Pharaoh who, the Bible writers say, did not know Joseph, or chose to ignore whatever Joseph had done in Egypt for Egypt through the mercy and grace of God. That now no longer became important to him. And it probably was so because his advisors told him that the children of Israel had increased in number. They had multiplied in number. They become numerous. And sometimes leaders are trapped by their advisors to do things that not honoring to God, not pleasing to the people. But the advisors told him. And I do not think that it is necessarily that the children of Israel had outnumbered the Egyptians. I think what has happened is that the children of Israel were so blessed by God. Remember, they did not live together with the Egyptians. They were way out in Goshen. And yet, the advisors told Pharaoh, you know, these guys are numerous. I think those people, because of God, were blessed in what they did. They prospered. Their local government, wherever it was in Goshen, they governed well. Their hygiene, their style of life, their orderliness, everything was just so well done. This incompetent few advised Mr. President, they said they were numerous in number. Let's deal with them because, and they sowed a seed of fear. They said, look, the children of Israel, if we let them continue to grow, they're going to turn against us one day. Imaginary. And in politics, numbers is an issue. And sometimes people ask me in Nigeria, aren't Christians the majority? That is not the issue. That is far away from the issue with God. God is looking at who is available to proliferate His goodness in any community. And the children of Israel were completely harmless. They were simply prosperous and making godly things as their heritage was to give to the land of Egypt. But there was this imaginary, numerical political sphere that was sown in the heart of Pharaoh. Typical with leaders. They quickly turned defensive. The areas they chose to deal with Israel was, first of all, to kill children. Killing of children. As soon as they were born. Destroy children. So that Israel will have no future. What an evil plot. To destroy the future of a people. Whoever the people are. No education. No health care. Destroy children. We don't even know who the next Billy Graham is. Kill him! We don't know who the next John Stott. Kill him! You have not even known what the children will be. And the other nations were just watching. Did nothing. Secondly, the advisors said to Pharaoh, let's not give them any opportunities in life. Stunt their growth. Declare the areas of their growth.
Better still, make them slaves. And increase their labor. So the labor laws were suspended for the children of Israel, but the labor laws were in operation in Egypt, same country, two different people. Make them slaves, second class. They are not important. And because we're looking at world mission, do understand this too. That as long as your mission ministry brings salvation, restores human dignity, brings progress to a people, you will be opposed. The world will hate you. The world will fight you. The world will be threatened by you. But if you're not involved in that, you're no threat. You're partners in progress, except that you are still in church. And God is the chief world missioner. So when he saw that the nations around were just spectators, and even those who should have helped are not helping, and nobody seems willing, and Pharaoh had become a little god, and everybody's scared of him, God then decides to say, I have sinned. I have heard. And I am concerned, and I'm going to do something about it. And God always does something. And he who knows the end from the beginning had prepared Moses from birth. But praise God for Moses' mother. She dared, of all women, she dared Pharaoh. She could not see how she would throw her baby away. Or give him off to be killed and thrown in the sea. She dared Pharaoh and she dared God. She said, Lord, I can't, you gave me this child. I just can't throw him. She had already two children, but this one, she's not going to let go. Perhaps Moses cooperated, we don't know. But if he was a child like Pastor Hugh, he would have been crying day one till the secret was leaked. You know, some children just come screaming. And some police or security will be saying, who's this, who's that? And but she died of that. Thank God for women like that. God help me, she said. And God was walking behind the scenes in history. Put him in a basket. Ordinary things. See, God uses ordinary people. Not terribly high class, we don't even know much, but they were Levites and so. Just simple worshippers and fearers of God. And Moses in a basket was found by the daughter of Pharaoh. So really, really, God using the children of Israel, they even outclassed and outsmarted the Egyptians. Here was Moses now finally in the palace. God walking in his, for his name's sake. So when he decided he was going to bring action into this and bring salvation to the people, he's going to use human beings. He's going to use Shavuot. He's going to use you. He's going to use me. He's going to use someone. And it's got to be someone. And he will do it. And Moses was there. God decides to do something about the situation. But God uses people like you and me. So God hears. God is a hearing God. He hears the cry of people. And you remember that when Hannah cried to the Lord, he answered her. Throughout the book of Judges, you hear of the children of Israel crying. Every time people cry, God hears. God does not wish his children shedding tears forever. He hears the cries. But secondly, God keeps his promises. had promised Abraham he's going to give him children numerous. He's going to give him descendants. He's promised Abraham he's going to make him into a nation. He's promised Abraham he's going to give him land. Territory. Boundaries. And perhaps the Egyptians may have heard of these promises and were scared. Maybe. But nonetheless, God keeps his promise. So God remembers his covenant. And the possibility that sometimes we forget that God knows about us, please be reminded now that God knows about you. God is a covenant-keeping God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, that all who believe in him should not perish. So God has no program whatsoever for the destruction of anybody here or in the world. God so loves you that he gave his son. This is his promise. That you do not take it, don't blame God. It's yours. He wants you saved. He wants you to be his child. He wants you to be with him now and forever. God keeps closely to this promise and will do anything to draw you to him, including bringing you to church this morning. You may even be going through some difficulties, but come to him. He will intervene. He will hear your cry. He will come into those difficulties and you will be his child. He cares. He keeps his covenant. Friends, he does. And God walks in history through different circumstances according to his plan, his time, and for his glory. It may take long in your eyes, but one day God will act. One day. Last Sunday, I was preaching in Abuja, and just as I was getting ready to come home, Gloria called me. She said, "Ben, two bombs went off." But it was her next sentence that broke me down. She said, "Ben, we've been praying for so long. It's as if our prayers are not being answered. What is this bomb again?" But thank you for asking me to come and speak. As I look at this portion of scripture, the Lord assures me he will act. He will act. Thirdly, God is concerned. He is very concerned. God knows what is going on and he has plans for your life, and God knows those who are planning to destroy you. They are not God. James Parker's book, Knowing God, speaks big about this issue. When you know God, you will know that men are not God. They're not God. They can go on. But God will intervene in history, in your life, at some point. God knows. He knows the sponsors. He knows the planners. He knows the executors. He knows their phone numbers. He knows their address. He even knows their hearts. God told Samuel the other time when Samuel was going to choose a king for Israel. He says, "You're looking at the outside. I see the inside. God knows your heart, my heart. Right now, God understands the motives of our hearts." God knows. And now God is concerned. He sees, he remembers, he hears, and is concerned. God's concern overrides all the evil plans. All of them. His compassion supersedes all of the evil plans against you. And is ready to act. Let me end with four things. First, if you're like me, this message of God seeing, hearing, acting may be difficult to understand or even accept. If, like the children of Israel, you're suffering all kinds of difficulties, injustice, and has gone on too long in your life, and you've asked the question, how long, Lord, how long? How long? And you've asked the question, how long, Lord, to the point that you feel nobody cares. But secondly, you can also get too immersed in your situation that you become blind to other people's sufferings. You don't see others who are suffering. 2 weeks ago, the dead body of a pastor in Somalia was found. He was beheaded and his head was cut off and put on top of his chair. There are Christians in Somalia who are still holding on. They may not be up to 2,000, but they are there. Pakistan, other parts of northern Nigeria. But you may get too engrossed. And you think you're the only one suffering and you may not see others. But thirdly, you may become also too comfortable and become complacent. And become blind and deaf and unconcerned about the suffering of others around you or in the world. But listen, the fact that you don't care does not mean God doesn't. God sees, God hears, and God cares. And if you're a Christian, if you truly are born again, you're a child of God, you believe God, you believe the Word of God, and you're concerned with the mission of God for the world, you must see, lift up your head, regardless of your circumstance, you must hear. Lift up your head and open your ears and hear what God is saying now. And you must have compassion in your heart that gives you the passion for mission, for caring outside. Was it not Paul who was in prison and the Philippian church came to him? And yet he was more concerned about Epaphroditus and about the church in Philippi, about the kingdom of God, about the gospel. Folks, do not bury your heads in your suffering. Do not bury your heads in your complacency and comfort. Look out, because God cares. If you love the Lord, you must hear, you must see, and you must care. Because Jesus still is compassionate. Jesus still cares. And Jesus today, yesterday, and forever, says, Amen.